Hey there, friends. This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Churchill Mortgage. They'll take your personal situation and find the best mortgage option for you. Call Churchill Mortgage today, 855-LOAN-200, 855-LOAN-200, or go to churchillmortgage.com.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am your host, Chris Brown. I want to welcome all of you, whether you're listening in on the radio, on iTunes, on the podcast there, or at stewardship.com. The call-in number, if you want to call in about your stewardship questions or comments or testimonies, is 866-357-3283. A little bit slower this time, 866-357-3283. 3283. And of course, you can email in those questions, comments, testimonies to Chris Brown on air at stewardship.com. That's Chris Brown on air at stewardship.com. And make sure you take full advantage of social media. Chris Brown on air is the handle, and that is on all social media platforms. So reach out to us. We'd love to have a conversation with you over the next 30 minutes or so. Have you ever asked the question, what is the will of God for my life? A big famous question for high school seniors and college freshmen and college sophomores. What's the will of God in my life or for my life? Or maybe it's you're dating right now and you've been dating for a while and you're like, oh, I wonder if this is the will of God. We ask that question a lot. And I am here to tell you, I know the will of God for your life. That's right. You heard it right here on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. This guy from Nashville, Tennessee said he knew the will of God for my life. Crazy, right? Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Check out what it says. Rejoice always. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. While you're sitting there and you're waiting for God's will, you're waiting for a word from God, which you're very, I have not experienced any audible voice from God. I'm only about 85% sure most of the time that is something he's wanting me to go a certain direction. But while you're sitting there waiting, right? And still working while you're waiting, still doing things, moving and shaking things. Rejoice always. Pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances. This is the will for you in Christ Jesus. So wherever you're at today, if you're not sure whether you're supposed to turn right or left, weigh that decision up against the scriptures. And while you're doing that, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, not just during the good times, not just during the bad times, all times. You know, it's interesting to me also that a lot of times we forget to do these things, not just in the bad times, but in the good times. I actually struggle more during the good times to do this because I start to rely on my own strength. I don't rejoice as much. I'm like, whatever, start to get a little entitled. I don't pray as much because I've got it handled. I'm the man. I don't give thanks as much because, you know what? This is the natural byproduct of hard work. I start to take credit for it. Now, when things are bad, I'm reaching out. I'm like, God, I need you. So if everything's going great in your life, maybe, just maybe, you might need to improve in this area. This is the will for you in Christ Jesus. Again, that phone number is 866-357-3283. And our first call is Christina. She's calling in from Cincinnati, Ohio. Christina, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, honored. How can I help?
About 3 years ago, I've been on this debt-free journey. I started off with $120,000 worth of debt, multi-student loans. and now I have $25,500 to go.
Way to go.
This journey. Thank you.
That is legit. You've got over $100,000.
Yes.
Wow.
I started learning about stewardship and money, and just started cranking out the payments every month.
Oh, that's impressive.
And I have a paid timeshare that I've been trying to get rid of this entire process.
Mm-hmm.
The total cost of the timeshare was $8,900. And I'm paying a quarterly fee, $157 every quarter.
Yeah.
And I've paid companies to get rid of this timeshare. I've been paying hefty fees trying to get rid of it, in addition to paying these association dues every quarter. I want to get rid of it. I do not want to pay this for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And before I understood money, I had purchased this, and it's always been a regret. So could you give me any feedback on how I can get rid of this timeshare?
Yeah, if you were to get rid of it today, what would it mean in your pocket?
I'm willing to give it away to someone. I just want to get rid of it. It would mean everything because I won't have $600 a year to pay that I can do something else with.
Yeah, yeah. Have you called the timeshareexitteam.com? Have you reached out to them?
No.
Okay. Well, reach out to them because they are the best. We fully endorse them. They're incredible. Timeshareexitteam.com. Check them out. But here's what I would do on your own. Obviously, I want you to kind of find out there what they can offer you. But a lot of times you can go to the – are they still – is the organization that's selling these timeshares, are they still in the selling process or they sold them all?
I'm not sure where they are, but it's a large enough company where they have multiple resorts, so okay. They're always selling. I'm not sure if the actual location I purchased has any available rooms for sale.
Well, if they're selling any at that location, what I would do is I would make yours the most incentivized unit that there is. I would make sure that the buyer has an incentive, that the buyer's agent has an incentive, that the listing agent has an incentive, that the office has an incentive, that everyone is incentivized to push your unit harder than everyone else's. That's what I would do. And especially for you when you're not necessarily as concerned with the amount of gain on the end, just want rid of it.
Yes.
So if the people that are actually in control of this thing actually selling, I would make sure they're incentivized and they want to sell it as bad as you do. So I don't know if that's $500 or if that's $1,000 or somehow it makes yours look better than all the rest of them.
Okay.
That's kind of what I would do. So I would reach out to timeshareexitteam.com and I would also reach out to the local agency there, the office there, and say, hey, listen, I need to get rid of this. I want to get rid of this. And I'm willing to incentivize you guys to make it worth your time.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
All righty. Thanks for the call.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
Picture this. You have a great job and plenty of money and savings, but you're afraid to take the leap into home ownership. What should you do, rent or buy? Well, the fact is, buying a home sets you up for building wealth. So if it's a reasonable expense in your budget, you're better off buying. Talk to my friends at Churchill Mortgage to help you build a smarter plan today. Call 855-LOAN-200 or go to churchillmortgage.com/Chris Brown.
This is a paid advertisement. NMLS ID 1591. Equal housing lender. 761 Old Hickory Boulevard. Brentwood, Tennessee 37027.
Well, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am your host, Chris Brown, and we're going back to the phones. We've got Dustin. He's calling in from Fort Worth, Texas. Dustin, how are you?
Chris, doing great. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm better every day. How can I help you?
Well, I've got a question about some debt that I've got. We're starting on baby step two.
Mm-hmm.
And several years ago, I had lost a job, and so we accrued a little bit, and we stopped paying on some credit cards. Now that I'm doing the debt snowball, I've got a car that I'm paying on $300 a month, and that's always been current. I owe $3,700 left on it. Should I attack that first before I attack the small credit cards that are in collections?
Yeah, I think the collections thing is what's throwing you off. Collections or no collections, and I think I just put them smallest to biggest. I want to make sure I take advantage of. What happens is that what I don't want you to do is to underestimate small beginnings. So if you're going to pay off a $50 card or $70 card, in your world, do you kind of think of it's like, it's not a big deal. It's not moving. It's not changing anything. But it is, because what's happening is it becomes addicting. You love the fact that that's taken care of. And it's kind of, you just go to the next one, you're like, this feels so good. And then all this weight gets removed and you kind of take it more seriously and you actually get to the $300 a month car payment faster.
Okay.
Because it becomes so addicting. So that's, when you think about this from the scripture standpoint, Matthew 13:31-32 talks about a mustard seed. Here's what it says. It says, he told them in another parable, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Just a tiny mustard seed. Though it is smaller than all of your other seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a big tree. So that the birds of the air come and perch on its branches. So this little tiny thing, take care of the small things. They mean more than you think. They're putting more weight on you than you think, because it's not necessarily about the $80. What's putting pressure on you is you've got stuff in collections.
Right.
And so
right.
What I would do is I'd go smallest to biggest regardless.
Great. And I did have one more question. This is a really quick one.
Yeah.
Dave Ramsey has always said a mortgage should be no more than 25% of your take-home pay. I have looked for this answer online. Is that before or after taxes and insurance included?
Yeah, that is principal, interest, taxes, and your interest and insurance, PITI. So that's the entire thing. Your take-home pay. So take home, let's say you gross $6,000, but you net $5,000. Right? Six and then five. And then out of five, you want that to be 25% of that with your PITI, but not utilities.
Very good. Okay. Thank you. I thought that, but I just wanted to get confirmation.
Yeah. Good
Chris,
question.
I appreciate you taking my call.
All right. Thanks, Dustin. All right, folks. Good questions so far. Got an email here from Canada. It's Tim. He emails in from Canada. Says, hey, Chris, first amazing podcast. It's the highlight of my day. Well, you just made the highlight of my day. That's pretty sweet. The question I have is, I am in the process of going through a divorce, and we had a joint credit card with about $8,000 in debt. For the last 8 months of the relationship, she was not working, so we used that to cover expenses. I know that since my name is on it, I am liable for it. Is it okay to put it at the end of my debt snowball, even if it isn't my biggest debt? My hopes are maybe she'll start paying some money on it, so I won't have to pay all of it. Thanks for everything. Folks, when he talks about the debt snowball and he says that putting it at the end, we want to pay off all our consumer debts, smallest to biggest, and that's why he's asking this question. Great question. And Tim, I'm completely fine with you holding off on attacking these. And just paying the minimum payments for maybe about 2 or 3 months while the dust settles from the divorce and the emotions kind of simmer a little bit and kind of relax and things kind of die down a little bit. But I wouldn't go any longer than that. After 2 or 3 months, after you kind of see how she's going to be acting coming out of this, then I would put it right back in the debt snowball where it goes, smallest to largest. But I think there's some wisdom in kind of holding back for a few months and just seeing if she plans to pay it. All right, folks. Well, I absolutely love hearing you guys call in with life-changing stories, and I hope you've enjoyed some of our answers and our dialogue that we've had here on the air over the last year or so. But let me ask you something. Have you ever wanted to give somebody a good piece of your mind? I know you have. Those of you that are in traffic right now, you probably feel that way right now. But maybe you want to give me a piece of your mind. Have you ever wanted to praise something that you love? Okay. Either way, here is your chance. I'm giving you the opportunity right now. I mean, I hope your feedback isn't negative, but even if it is, I still want to hear from you. After all, Proverbs 12:15 says the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. We want to listen to your feedback. So if you want to give me your feedback on this show, I am ready to listen, and I'd love to hear from you. Just head over to stewardship.com today, and you'll find the link to a survey on the homepage and on today's episode page. Or you can simply text us. Just text us the word stewardship to the number 33444, and we'll send you a link to the survey. Again, text the word stewardship to the number 33444 to share your thoughts on the show. And even if you give some not so great feedback, you could win one of the $50 Target gift cards just for telling me what you think, for giving me a piece of your mind.
Thank you for joining us on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We want to hear your questions and your success stories, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now back to Chris Brown and True Stewardship.
And it looks like this call comes in from Ohio, a second call from Ohio today. This is Chad. Chad, how are you?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm better every day. How can I help?
So my wife and I are on baby step number two, and we've been doing this for probably 2.5-3 months, doing the every dollar budget and everything. And I'm looking for ways to get her excited because she hates it. Yeah. She is not excited at all. I'm trying to get her to do Financial Peace University, and then she kind of throws back at me that it costs money, and how does that make any sense to do that when it costs money? And, you know, grabbing at straws here, trying to keep her on board and, you know, looking for advice.
Yeah. Well, let me just take a little bit of pressure off you. It's only been 2 or 3 months. Rome was not built in a day. You're not going to change your complete financial philosophy in a few months. It'll take some time. So just let me relieve a little bit of that pressure for you. The thing on this is we actually just had a caller recently call in. I don't know if you've heard the call or not, but she said that her husband wouldn't get on board with it. So she just decided to do a lot of groundwork on education and encouragement on her end. And she just listened to the broadcast of the podcast or Dave Ramsey's podcast or mine. And she just played it while she was doing the dishes. She played it while she was doing laundry. She just had it around in her world. And occasionally he would walk through and he'd hear a little something here or hear a little something there. And he would not only hear the what, he would also hear the why. And next thing you know, what she noticed was he comes and starts bringing her ideas. You know what? That motorcycle, I probably do need to sell it. You know, it's been out there. It's and the next thing you know, he's bringing all the great ideas, and she's just secretly going, yes, yes. And so we, you know, and you know, this third party voice kind of did a lot of the work for her. Hopefully you can just take a little bit of that you don't have to do all the heavy lifting. If you go after it, you get inspired, you get excited about it. It's just overflow in your communication. It's just, you know, you ooze it, you talk about it. It's not just about the money. It's about stewarding God's blessings, God's way for God's glory. It's deeper than that. It's a spiritual decision. I think as long as you can get it above, you know, I was just talking to someone else too about the first time that they were invited to one of our events. Here's what they said. They said, you got to go to this Dave Ramsey thing. And they said, you know what? It's where you learn how to budget, and it's where you learn how to cut up your credit cards. That's not a very good sales pitch at all.
Not exciting at all, is it?
It's not. We've got to pull up and be like, that's where you find freedom. That's where you get rid of the bondage. That's where you be able to see your future again. That's where you get out of the weeds. It's where we can dream, and it's just different. It's not about the credit cards. It's bigger than that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll watch HGTV or whatever, and she wants to buy a beach house somewhere. And I'm like, well, you know, we can do that someday, but we have to do A, B, C, D first. And, you know, I guess what you're saying is kind of do, you know, expose her to these philosophies, and hopefully by osmosis she'll get more on board, get more motivated, instead of rolling her eyes and saying, oh, here Chad goes again.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I just remember when the first time I became a Christian, I was a freshman in college, and I came home from college. I was totally lost in high school, didn't know anything spiritually. I went to college. First month I was there, I accepted Jesus. I came back home about 85 miles or so, hour and a half, came down, and I walked in the front door, and I had my little suit and tie on, and I just became perfect overnight, and I was shoving it down my mom's throat, and it was obnoxious. It was just too much, too fast. And so what you want her to do is you want her to want to, not have to. And so inspire her rather than kind of, you know, you could go too fast. And I was the same way. And here's one way to do it. Ask her to pray with you about getting out of debt, to pray with you about how's the best way to get to the next level. And she's just praying with you. You say the words, she's just along for the ride, and she's just, but she is just receiving this because of what God's doing in your life. And by her just being around it, there's going to be some overflow.
Kind of what goes through you sticks to you, sort of a thing.
That's good. I'm going to tweet that. Very good. Well, Chad, we appreciate the call. We're cheering you on, my friend.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, folks, got an email here from Monica. Says, "Dear Chris, I first want to thank you for your ministry. You and Dave have inspired us to pay off our mortgage, which is our only debt, and have a life debt-free. My question is the following. I'm originally from South America. I came alone to this wonderful country 12 years ago, and now I can proudly call myself an American. My entire family is still at home. My parents are divorced, and my relationship with my father has always been a roller coaster. He has dealt with alcoholism since I can remember, and he has always felt entitled to everything in life. About 2 years ago, he was diagnosed with epilepsy, which forced him to stop drinking. He received a pension that is enough to cover all his basic and medical needs and little extra to save or spend on whatever he wants. Last week, when I called to check in, he asked me for money to cover his medication. The amount was 3 times the total cost. I know the total cost because I took care of him and his expenses before. I'm scared to send money because I'm not sure what he's doing with it. In a way, I guess I don't trust him because of the history of poor choices. To make matters worse, I can count the number of times on one hand that he has called me since I have moved here. But now that he is asking for money, he's calling constantly. I'm not sure if I made the right decision, but I chose to send him the money this time. I feel guilty because I've been blessed and have the ability to help financially. But should I feel guilty for not helping him in the future? If I help, would I be enabling his bad behavior and selfishness? How can I help him to manage his finances better?" Great question. Big wrestle. These type of situations are such a great opportunity, folks, for us to be able to share our faith. You heard me right. It's a great opportunity for us to share our faith. Here's what I mean. I am going to support you regardless, but how I support you is determined by my ROI as a manager, my return on investment as a manager. Of course, that kind of response fuels a bunch of questions on their behalf, right? So next, you explain the whole manager and owner dynamic of your faith as kind of a spiritual seed that you're planting. He is the owner. I am the manager. You explain to him Psalm 24:1. You explain to him 1 Corinthians 4:2. You explain the whole ROI concept. Love and encouragement always, right? I'm going to give you love and encouragement always. It always has a good ROI, but financially doesn't. So regardless of where or who I'm giving to, don't take it personal, but my faith demands that I know exactly how much this is helping you short term and long term. And sometimes in these situations, the best thing I can do is to ask some questions that shed light on a bigger issue. Dad, is there a bigger issue here? Let me ask you some questions. And Monica, there will be some fallout. There is relational fallout every time we say no. It's true. Your primary relationship was with the owner, who is also your savior. And the reason why we have money anyway, or breath in our lungs for that matter. So I know it's not easy, Monica, at all. I know it's not easy when we stand up for things. You know, persecution can come, and we don't even know what persecution is. But there's going to be some relational fallout when you do say no. And if he gets mad, try as hard as you can not to take it personal, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's not what the issue is. The issue is not him being mad at you. It's deeper than that. Ephesians 6:12 tells us, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." It's deeper than that. And so just know that you, what you can control is you standing up to be a good steward for good ROI financially. There's not good ROI financially. Guess what? Your support turns to only love and encouragement, which there's nothing wrong with at all. So Monica, I pray that you can do this. I pray that you can stand firm on this, and you need to not feel guilty when you withhold your gift financially. If the Lord's telling you, hey, this is falling on some thorny soil, some rocky soil. Well, folks, that is it for today. It has been a pleasure. Remember, the will of God for our lives. You remember, it's only 25 minutes later. 1 Thessalonians tells us, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And don't forget, I want a piece of your mind. If you want to give your feedback on this show, you can find a link to the survey at stewardship.com, or just text the word stewardship to 33444 and we'll send you the link. Folks, it has been a pleasure. Until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings God's way for God's glory.